Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, as well as those who may be monitoring who have not yet made that conversion decision, or even those that just are monitoring who are of the faith and still looking, seeking, aspiring, if you will, to go a little bit higher in Christ, to learn a little bit more. And so I welcome you to Theologically Speaking with Jose Dorsey, which is myself. I'm your host, Jose Dorsey. The purpose of the show, I really would like to dig into some matters that are very weighty matters in life, and a special concern coming from out of the Bible that we tend to struggle with. I'm not afraid to actually tackle those things head on and deal with them to help us gain insight as to what the scriptures are really saying to us, and praying that somebody somewhere might be able to make a conversion decision to give their life to Christ, or somebody somewhere might decide to live their lives in a different way, to surrender more to Christ Jesus. And so without further ado, before we go into any show, one of the very first things that I think we should do is always pray. We pray, and then it goes on to even teach us that we should pray without ceasing. So without further ado, let us go before the throne of grace. Eternal God, our Father, in Jesus' name, thank you for this opportunity to go out among the internet and the airwaves into the virtual land and actually be able to reach people potentially around the world. Thank you, God, that you've given us this platform that somebody who may be listening, may be able to hear a word. And we pray that you allow that word to go forward with strength. Let it touch them in a mighty way to transform their lives, God. Allow them to feel your presence and just see your hand moving in their lives. Your word teaches us that the fervent, effectual prayer of the righteous availeth much. Where some things might not have been available to them before, God, allow them to now be able to latch onto resources that are going to be available in their lives to bless them, to keep them. May we stir them with some more knowledge, God, some tokens of wisdom from your word. Allow it to be a foundational word that, God, they may stand on it and thereby gain strength. I come to you as a servant in faith, knowing, trusting, and believing, God, that you're able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we can ask or even think. So I trust you, God, in Jesus' name, and gladly say amen. Well, once again, you've joined us with Theologically Speaking with Jose Dorsey. I just want to tell you a little bit about myself because I am a new host. I'm from the Center of Spirit and Truth at 11663 Arcola. That's in Livonia, Michigan, right off of Plymouth and Inkster. Little humble ministry that I've been blessed to serve as a pastor. We might be a little intimate congregation, but I submit to you that we are mighty in love. We are mighty in the works that God has put before us. If you're looking for a place that you need to feel some love, please feel free to reach out to me. My phone number, even if you need to, 313-221-7600. That's 313-221-7600. Feel free to reach out if you would like prayer. Feel free to reach out if you would like to even text me questions on the show as far as what we'll talk about. When we're not actually preaching a sermonic message. The last show, we did a sermonic message. We were very proud to actually come and stand and tell people through a sermonic style exactly what the show was going to be about. So we preached about a word in season. And that word in season message was designed to help us see that we're always going to be equipped with a word that is going to go forward with anointing and power, a surety, so that we can equip those in the body of Christ and we can actually help people outside of the body of Christ see Christ through us. The Bible says, let your light so shine that men may see your good work and glorify your God in heaven. Notice that it's not about us, but the light shining, even though it's your work, it's also God actually moving his principles, moving through us, that other people may see them and not give us the glory, but it's all about God getting the glory. And so as we breach or broach, if you will, the topic of God getting the glory, we have to actually deal with the subject matter for today. And the subject matter for today is really one that it seems a very light subject. It goes into the title of the today's show is The Church as an Agent of Change. The Church as an Agent of Change. Brothers and sisters, one of the things that we need to do, most importantly do, is be able to be the very ambassadors of Christ that God has called us to be. So with that being said, our principles need to be the same principles that God has given us in his word. That means that as believers, we must be obedient first to his word. See, because as we respond to his word, other people will see us responding to his word and see the transformational power that is happening in our lives. See, if I go and I try to tell you about my job, I tell you about this awesome company that hired me. I'm working there. I'm so happy there. And I try to sell it to you. But then when you see me, you look at me and you don't see the fruits of what I'm trying to share with you, then there's a breakdown in communication. I submit to you today that I believe that there's a great breakdown in communication in the church because now more than ever, it has become so hard for us to evangelize in the highways and the byways. Now, I kind of feel myself feeling a little preachy. Now, I said I wasn't going to preach today, but I feel a preach all down in my spirit, and I'm just going to try to stick to the subject matter, but amen, if something comes out, God be glorified. But back to the subject matter is we're trying to actually reach where a society of people where it's hard to reach them. I kind of feel like back in the days of Habakkuk, Habakkuk was living in a situation where, you know, it was hard to reach those that didn't want to be reached, teach those that didn't want to be teach. People live lasciviously. People live lawlessly. And then Habakkuk, he petitioned God, like, God, what are you going to do about this? Look at how these people are acting. And so here we are. We're in a postmodern situation where we're looking at society, and from the church perspective, I'm a watchman on a tower saying, God, what are we going to do about our people? And so what God began to do was speak to my heart, and he began to share with me different things regarding the body of Christ. And one of those things is that we are supposed to be agents of change. Understand that we are the very earthen vessels that God has chosen to allow ourselves to be used as conduits so that the word of God may go forth. There's a reason why Jesus said that, look, I've done all of these things, but you're going to do greater things. It puzzled me because here it was, Jesus, God, wrapped in the flesh, right? He walked around. He did all of these miracles. He cast out demons. He walked on water, changed water into wine. He raised people from the dead. Come on, Jesus. My God, Jesus, how are we going to do greater things than what you've shown us, than what you've done? What he was actually showing us through historicity or through time, as we begin to evangelize and go forward with the anointed word and principles that he's given us, we were going to be able to touch more people. Now imagine when we share the gospel, how somebody is lost in darkness. The Bible teaches us that God says, I have called you out of darkness, watch this, into the marvelous light, into his marvelous light. Understand when we're going forward and we have the words of wisdom upon our lips and we're teaching the gospel has given us, click, light switch goes on. Somebody makes a decision to convert from an unbeliever to a believer. Somebody gets saved, and that is when they actually yield to the Holy Spirit. They've allowed their hearts to be pricked. They receive Jesus, the Lord and Savior, and then a transformation takes place in that person's life. They've gone from the darkness, they've come into the light. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I once was blind, watch this, but now I see. Now, I know some people might have some racial issues with that song, but if you look at the song words and you put it in proper context, that's something that we're supposed to be doing every day, every single day. But when we get to the point in which we're no longer standing on the word of God and we begin to allow our ministries to reflect what the world looked like, we're not being that change agent anymore. So let's deal with this scripture. I know I said that the base of the scripture was going to come from Romans 12 and 2, but I need to back that thing up just a little bit. Just back it up. Romans 12 and 1, the Bible reads, I'm reading from the ESV version. If you happen to be in your Bible, in your word right now, if you have a different translation, it's all right. God be glorified. The word of God is inerrant. Even if you use a different version, that don't mean that his word is not accurate. His word is still transforming. So here we go. Romans 12 and 1. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice. Understand, brothers and sisters, today that you are not living just for yourself. See, that's one of the places where we get confused at in ministry, and then our churches no longer look like agents of change. We want to be Bishop Smuckintelli. We want to be Master Prophet, Prophet Doctor, Deacon Bishop Doctor Doug. And the reality is that things begin to happen because of the ego that's attached to that. Beloved, in the church in which I am the pastor, I tell the congregants that they don't even have to call me pastor. Now, I know somebody probably looked at their radio like I done lost my whole mind, and I understand how you might feel. And I understand that the Bible does say that the man of God is worthy of a double portion of honor, but understand this, when you read your word, you know, what do they call Paul in the Bible? Paul, one of the greatest apostles that we read about. What do they call Paul in the Bible? They call him Paul. Here it is, Jesus, God wrapped up in the flesh. What do we call Jesus? We just call him Jesus. Matter of fact, when we close out our prayer, we just say, in the name of Jesus. Many of us don't say, in the name of God the Son, in the name of him who wrapped himself up in flesh and walked among us, being God. Him, even though he stepped out of heaven's realm to deal with us in an earthly realm just so that he can save us, we don't even approach him in that manner. We just say, Jesus. So who am I to take on a bigger dose of honor than Christ himself? Beloved, what I'm trying to say is when we're ego-tripping and when we're all about names and all about status and we're all about these superficial titles and mentalities, the reality is we begin to shut people out from seeing the church as the transformed people, the ecclesia, the Christ-out ones who God has called out of darkness into his marvelous light. Then what it looks like a bunch of superficial people that don't look any different from the world. Now here, let me ask you a question. If you don't look no different from me, how can you convince me to change to look like you? Something that we need to ask ourselves. So we need to present our bodies as a living sacrifice. That means in our thoughts, in our deeds, in our words, and everything that we do, it ought to be that we consider Christ because we've been bought with a price. Understand that it should have been you, it should have been me up on a rugged cross dying because we deserve death because of our disobedience, because of our sin. But the Bible teaches us that Jesus became our propitiation. He took your place. I don't want to be too long. You don't notice my time running down, so I'm going to keep it moving. Holy and acceptable unto God, which is your spiritual worship. This is your reasonable thing to do. God is not just requesting this of you. He's not suggesting this of you. But here it is, a commandment of the Lord, that we come and present ourselves as living sacrifices, and we see that this is a mode, a means, if you will, and how we approach God in a spiritual worship. Now let's get to the change agent piece, because some people confused what the mission of the church is. Well, first of all, one of the missions the Bible teaches us, Matthew 28:19-20, go ye therefore unto all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And lo, I am with you even to the end of the world. So if he's with us to the end of the world, he gives us this guarantee of his presence. Then we ought to be able, obedient enough to go forward to honor his word. So in his word, we see, go ye therefore. We got to take the word. We're evangelizing. And it says we're teaching them. We're actually making disciples, right? We're baptizing them, which means they've been transformed. They've shown the world that they've made an interchange, baptism. The baptism that we're speaking of, they should be baptized in the word first, the baptism of fire, then baptized actually with water, demonstrating the death, burial, and resurrection with Christ, their transformation and their identification with Christ. So here we go a little bit further, and we see the Bible says, do not be conformed to this world. We need to park it right there, somebody, because this is a concept that many people are going to find get confused. We got gospel trap music, gospel rap music, and I'm not knocking that, so don't get mad at me out there in radio world and internet land, because I'm talking about, you know, the disparity in music and genre and all of that. But we have, like, different things. I've seen people hustling in the church, like hustling, like doing the hustle, the dance. I've seen people doing so many things out of trying to reach the community that I see that there has been an exchange of identity, and that's a problem. There's a cross-pollination that should not exist. If anything, Christ is supposed to be the transformer of culture. See, there's church culture, and there's the surrounding culture of the church. There's the church within a culture or a community. We as a change agent are supposed to go into that community, carry a word of transformation from Christ that causes the community to change, not cause the church to conform. Whew. So here it is. I need to not look like they do, because God says, be ye holy, for I am holy. Holy means set apart. I have specifically set you apart not to look like everybody else. That's why the Bible says that you are a holy nation. You are a peculiar people. Do you know why you're so peculiar? It's something about somebody that truly is anchored in the Lord, somebody that is steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. It's something about somebody that's like that tree planted by the rivers of water. I wish I was preaching. I said I wasn't. Okay, here we go. Listen, it's something about somebody so grounded in the word of God. That is something about their foundation that's so solid it can't be shaken. They will not be moved. So you look at them and they should be crying in dire situations and they're still uplifting and worshiping God. You would think that they would be falling apart and falling out and just losing their minds. But instead, it's something about them that they're being kept. They realize the presence of God and they're able to go forward with anointing and power and assurity because we're so peculiar. We're peculiar for a reason, because we're designed to be set apart. So that set apartness, let's deal with that, because he set us apart to be that very example for people to see. See, if you conform to somebody else's image, then how much of God's image do you bear in your principle? I'm going to give that to you again. So if you conform to somebody else's image or somebody other than God's image, then you have to ask yourself, how much of God's image do you bear in regards to your principles? Amen. So do not be conformed to this world, but what? Be transformed by the renewal of your mind. The way you think, the way you operated before should not look the same way once you decide to make that life change and give your life to Christ. If you truly love God, you ought to be able to show some signs. There ought to be a conviction about you that I'm going to give God all of me. It does not matter what. Hell come, high water. I use that as a noun. No matter what comes my way, I'm going to give myself to Christ. I'm going to surrender unto him. I'm going to give him 100% of me, because 99.5% just won't do. Because I'm transformed. See, I think differently now. My heart has been changed. I've been circumcised on the inside. I've totally given myself over to Christ Jesus. You can't pluck me out of his hand. You can't shake me. You can't rattle me. You cannot remove me from my loving God. Because, see, he walks with me, talks with me. He tells me that I am his own. And because of that, I've renewed my mind. So you understand, somebody somewhere actually understands and recognizes that we've been so wrong for so long. We've been so wrong for so long that Christ came in the nick of time and rescued you. You can just kind of imagine and know that somebody's hell you were going to bust wide open if you continued on in your sin without a Savior. Somewhere within inside of somebody that has made the transformation or renewed in their mind or been renewed in their mind, they recognize the path that they were on to destruction. Eternal separation from God, eternal punishment, eternally being sifted because of disobedience and sin. But he loved me so much that in spite of ourselves, in spite of knowing that we would still lie, we would still commit the sins that we sin, which in spite of the fact that we would still do all of the things that we do, Jesus Christ still died for you. That should be enough to cause us to have a renewed mind. But God gives us the sense of a renewed mind because it's not that that he just wants you to think differently, simply. But the Bible even goes on to tell us, what's up with this renewed mind? It said that by testing, you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. We are to be change agents because we understand the will of God because we've already been transformed in our mind. You've already received the antidote. You've already received the answer. While atheists and secular humanists and other people that are scientists that have not received the word, have not received God, they have not understood the origin of their existence. To us as believers, we understand that we are foreigners in a strange land, and guess what? We're only traveling through. And because of this knowledge, we understand that God is creator. God is father of all. God is ultimately in control. He's on the throne. It doesn't matter who's president. Christ is king. God is still in charge. And so that because we have that fortitude, that strength, that solidarity in Christ Jesus, because we have this knowledge, because our mind have been renewed. Now here we go as the agent of change. Now here we go out into the communities. We should not be able to stumble and fall by the same vices that once plagued us before, by the same vices that are actually plaguing our communities. We ought to be the agent of change to go out and carry a word to help someone be uplifted. The word of God teaches us that when we are spiritual, when we have become converted ourselves, when we become transformed, when we're spiritual, we're going to go and uplift our brothers. That means I'm going to go if he be taken in the fault, and I'm going to actually share with him the word of God to allow him to be strengthened so that he can get up. I ought to be able to go forward and change the world, at least begin with the community around me first. So let me make this a little bit plain. Let me speak about what I'm speaking about because this thing is like really hard to deal with for some of us in certain churches. This means that we gotta kill all the antics, everybody. I know somebody's gonna be mad at me. We gotta kill this thing. If God ain't tell you to stand up and speak in tongues and he not giving you the word, you don't have to help God by faking no tongues in church. Now, if he's truly giving you the gift to speak in tongues and he truly moved on you and giving you utterance, well then, amen, God be glorified and somebody be lifted and edified. But ultimately, the problem with the church no longer being a change agent is the fact that we've gotten from the path of standing on the word of God. We want to help God, or we want to look a certain way. But people of God today, I'm telling you that we are cutting our nose off to spite our face in ministry. As a change agent, we ought to be happy to go forward and carry a word. And church hurt people. We hurt people in church so quickly and so easily. The last place somebody needs to be shamed is when they come into the church. When Jesus saw the woman that was actually caught in a very act of adultery, they brought her to Jesus, compassion upon her. Now, because of the law, he was able to take a stone if he wanted to, and he could have stoned her. He could have allowed them to stone her because it would have been lawful under the law. But Jesus said, he that without sin, let them cast the first stone. My friends, today you and I, none of us are without sin. So rather than judging people and pushing them out of church, rather than putting on theatrics and antics in the church, rather than trying to help God's ministry or make ourselves seem a certain type of way, we need to come back to being the church as an agent of change. Come back to being a people of God that have been transformed by his word, his principles, and his way, so we can get back into loving people. I told my church that, not my church, God's church, but the congregation that I pastor, I told them that if a woman comes in, she's dressed scantily clad, she could have just left from doing prostitution in the streets. If you know about it, amen, we're going to receive her with love. Because what happens is as they come in and they receive the word, that word will begin to chastise their heart. God will begin to do the correction. God will do the adjusting and the fixing and the pruning and the redirecting himself. All we have to do is do the teaching. You don't have to tell a dirty glass that it's dirty. But instead, what you do is you put a clean glass next to it, and the dirt on the glass will be obvious. My friends, neither one of us are the clean glass. I don't care how long you've been in the church. I don't care how much you claim to be saved, sanctified, filled with the Spirit. You have no right to look down on somebody else at all ever in life because you are a dirty glass too. It's what degree of dirt is on that glass. Is what degree of dirt, how you walk your life is on that glass, because the only clean glass that we can look to, that we can measure ourselves with, and that is Jesus Christ. So the church is designed to be that agent of change. God has called us to be the agent of change. And might I add, without conformity to this world. Yeah, I know your ministry is different. I know your heart and how God is tugging it is different. I know that there's different things that is burdening your ministry and how God is calling you, and you don't know how people going to respond to it. You don't know if it's going to be popular. You don't know if people are going to actually show up and be in your church. If 10 people show up and be in your church and they're being fed by the word and God is anointing them through that ministry, you ought to feel happy with the fingerprint that God has placed on your ministry. It's not all about being mega or being monumental or having a lot of money or making names for ourselves, but it is about the word of God. See, that's how we get lost in being agents of change. Here's another thing. We think we're agents of change because of what we say. Baby, you need to slap yourself, sit down somewhere, look in the mirror, give yourself a checkup from the neck up. It is not all about how much you're actually saying. You can speak with eloquence of speech. Paul said, I can speak eloquently, but he chose not to use the eloquence of speech. It was the life that he lived in prison. He actually worshiped God. He actually allowed himself to be used as an instrument. Let us follow that example to be an agent of change. God bless you, my people. I pray that God continue to keep you. I'm just going to close with a quick prayer. Eternal God, our Father, in Jesus' name, I hope somebody received this message on today, that it might change their lives. It might allow them to look at the church as an agent of change. Bless us, keep us, guide us. In Jesus' name, we gladly say amen.